Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's show. It is live on May 29th, 2013. I am your hostess, Molly McCord, broadcasting live from Seattle, Washington. I hope today finds you well and empowered and joyful. May has been a long month. Wouldn't you agree? There have been many big energies, but it's also been a long month. It's been at about 5 weeks. So it's been interesting to see how this last week of May is occurring and finishing up, and things are coming up. And I have felt very strongly that until June 1st, we are being guided and prompted and nudged to finish things up energetically in many, many ways. So if you're feeling that on some level, then you are spot on, because I think that's part of what we're doing right now. We're preparing for June, and that is a big month. It always is. It marks the halfway point of the year, which is unbelievable. And it's going to bring us even more energies and new places to go with those energies. So keep going and make the most of May. As I said, there's been a lot of big energies, and that's been related to the eclipses we've had, as well as some astrological transits. So we are never bored, that's for sure. I sent out an email a few days ago about how the energies have felt very ungrounded to me. So if you can relate on some level and it's been harder to focus or stay disciplined or even stay motivated, I think that's just part of what's coming up right now. So just know that you are in the flow and that it's fairly universal. I want to let you know that this show is going to be, we're going to cover a lot of information. I have six questions here in front of me, and we will answer each of those questions, and then we'll move into the astrology portion of the show. I'm going to talk a bit about Jupiter in Cancer, which is going to be happening here the end of June is when we will make that transition. So I wanted to give you a heads up about it and what that energy means. And I also want to let you know that in June, it's interesting because June is going to have two very different energies. The first part of the month is going to have one vibration, and the second part of the month is going to have a different one. So I'm feeling guided to share this with you just so you have a heads up about what's to come, because June is going to be very bustling, movement, stuff happening, developments, dynamic. It just feels very go, go, go. And then the second part of the month is when we're going to slow down a bit. And that will be after the summer solstice, and it's also when Mercury is going to go retrograde on June 26th. Which is also the day that Jupiter moves into Cancer for the first time in 12 years. So I'm going to touch on that more in the second half of our show, but I just want to give you a heads up about June. Another announcement is that this past Monday night, I was on the psychic cowgirl Shannon Lackman's radio show, and we talked about group energies versus one-on-one energies. And this was a really fun discussion. If you have been observing and participating in group energies, you might enjoy this show because we talked about the pros, the cons, the benefits, the observations of being in a group, both physical group experiences and online group experiences such as forums, membership communities, and Facebook groups. If you're looking for some understanding and insight about those areas, I recommend that show. It was on May 27th, and some of what we talked about might resonate with you. As a heads up, the next two shows we have are going to be really fun. Next week's show is about multidimensional approaches to the third dimensional world. And what does that mean? Well, that means that so many of us have elevated our energies and we have embraced our multidimensionality and all of our talents and skills and energies that are available to us. And then we find ourselves in these third dimensional structures, relationships, experiences. And so what do you do? How do you make that work, you know, when there are such discrepancies between energies? Next week's show is going to talk about that. I have some awesome tips to share with you from my spiritual team. It's been helpful for me, and I feel like it's going to be helpful for you because it's also a reminder that we are here to live on the earth, to be in this dimension and to make the most of it. And so we're going to show you ways to incorporate that holistically into your life. That should be a good show. And the following week, I have a returning guest, the one and only Rick DiClemente will be here. He is an intuitive astrologer, and he and I have a great time talking about astrology, and he's going to have some wonderful insights for you about summer astrology, what's coming up, as well as some current happenings. So check out that show because I think you might find some good value in it. So let's get started with these questions today. We have some awesome questions that have been coming in all month long. Thank you for submitting them. They've been coming through Twitter, Facebook, and the website, consciouscoolchic.com. And I'm going to answer all six of these questions because I think they're highly relevant. Now, a few things to know. When I answer these questions, it's because I've tapped into spiritual guidance for the answers and really felt into them to make sure they felt right on. So I offer them to you, but as always, I invite you to check in with your own guidance and to see that they resonate with you. Because it's interesting how different energies won't always match up exactly. So some of these answers might fit exactly for where you are, and some of them might not. And all is beautiful. All is perfect. But I always have that quick disclaimer is that I am not trying to tell you everything that is right. It is more about offering you another perspective so that you can choose and see how that resonates with you and the information that you're seeking. So we're going to start off with affirmations. This lovely person, looks like Amy, submitted a question about affirmations. She says, I'm confused about affirmations. Are they really effective? Do they really work? I've been reading in other places and on other websites that they are only a Band-Aid and that they don't do anything. Can you share what your spiritual team has to say? Beautiful question, Amy. Beautiful, beautiful. This is what I have come to understand and what works for me. Affirmations can be highly, highly effective. However, it depends at which point in your work you apply them. So let's take the analogy of affirmations as Band-Aids. If you are looking to change something in your life, you're saying, I want to make more money, and you repeat affirmations to yourself over and over and over again, and you're saying the words, you're in line with your intentions, then nothing's changing. That is because the affirmation is a Band-Aid to the deeper issue underneath, which is the feelings you have around money, around abundance, around your connection to it. Oftentimes, the deeper root of this relates to self-value and self-worth, and am I worthy of being in the financial flow of the universe? Am I worthy of receiving abundance? So if you were to be using an affirmation without the understanding that there's a deeper issue, then yes, it is a Band-Aid. You are essentially not dealing with the real energy that you need to look at. However, let's say that you realize this and you understand, oh, I need to dive into this and really deal with my feelings around money, around my self-worth, around my value, and the fact that I am worthy to be in alignment with all of the abundance in the universe. When you dive into that work and you are approaching it from that energetic space, things shift and they move and they change. Then when you start saying that same affirmation, you are then in alignment with that energy and the intentions are there, the energy backs you up, and the affirmation serves as a reminder to that new belief you have. So the affirmation can reinforce the work you have done, but the affirmation cannot change the work you have not done. So I hope that makes sense. I see it as when you have a wound, a cut, and you put a Band-Aid over it, okay? That Band-Aid helps the wound get better. It helps it heal. But the Band-Aid does not make everything underneath the surface better, right? It just makes that top layer better. It allows things to heal. What you want to do is address the energy that is guiding the belief in the first place. And then afterwards, you apply the Band-Aid, the affirmation, as a dressing, as support, as a reminder of this new energy. So affirmations are highly effective and highly valuable when they're used at the right time in your journey. But if you have been using affirmations for years and you're not getting the same results or any new results, that is a clue that there's deeper work to be done. Okay, so to answer your question, Amy, yes, affirmations do work. And yes, they can be a Band-Aid at the same time. But you want affirmations to assist you after you have done your deeper level energetic clearing, releasing, cleansing. And then the affirmation is what reminds you of your new truth. So I hope that helps. And please let me know if you have any follow-up questions. Now, we're moving on to the question I've put in the email this week, and I've been plugging it on social media, and it's the fact that what does it mean when psychics are wrong? They're wrong when the information they say isn't right. What does that mean? What is that about? And the question comes from Carl. I had a psychic reading with someone, and she said a particular event in my life would occur. But then it didn't happen. Was she wrong? Is she not a good psychic? Why didn't this event transpire? I really trusted and believed her information. Wonderful question, Carl. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to make two assumptions. One, we're going to make the assumption that, yes, she is a wonderful, qualified psychic who is effective and tuned in. You know, she's valid. You know, she's not spinning tricks and doing crazy things. She's not a fraud. She's the real deal. We're going to make that assumption, one. The second assumption we're going to make is that you were open to her information. We're going to assume that you came to the reading, your energy open, with a willingness to receive information, and that you are fully present. This is important because you, as the client or recipient of the information, you need to be open to it. If you are shut down, that will affect the reading. If you are closed to any information, if you are energetically shielding yourself, that will affect the reading. So we're going to assume that you were awake and available. Okay, so based on these two assumptions, why didn't what she said happen? Well, here's some things that we need to know and look at. One, a psychic is tuning into probabilities and possibilities. She is tuning into an energy that has a high likelihood of occurring. She is tapping into future potentials and or current potentials. And she's looking at it from a place of what you and your energy will most likely choose. And so when she's saying this event will happen or most likely happen, that's based on the probability of what is happening in that moment in time right then. In 2 days, if something changes for you and you have a brand new opportunity to follow or a new person shows up in your life or something drastic changes your energy, that then affects the possibilities and probabilities that she was tapping into. And so she's never tapping into guarantees. She's working with your energy and she's working with your guides and your team to help you and assist you in the best possible ways. So remember, we're assuming her intentions are pure and of the highest level. So she saw certain energies, but the psychic can never tell you what to do or guarantee anything because that you always have your own free will. And because of that, it's important, Carl, to look at how did your free will change after something happened, after the reading? Did you make new choices? Or did a part of you go into fear around that event that she talked about? Because if you went into fear, if a part of you thought, oh, shoot, I'm not ready for that event, or no, I don't want that to happen, or I'm not worthy, no, there's no way that could happen. If you went into that energy, that will also change the energy of that dynamic, you see, because at that point you have then put up a barrier of sorts to that possibility occurring. So it's important to look at, after the session, were you still open to the possibility and to the information, or did you close down? Because that would change the outcome. And the other thing to consider is that when you have a reading with somebody, you never want to give your power away. You never want to say, oh, well, she said this would happen, so I'm just going to sit back and let it happen. You know, you are still an active participant in your life. You are still creating your life and your world. And so sometimes when we get these insights about things that can transpire, the possibilities, the probabilities, we have to also continue to act as if. We have to move forward in our life and hope for the best, expect the best, and even potentially expect something better. But we have to have a willingness and an openness that the events can transpire or something better will happen. And you do that by not giving all your power to somebody else who probably doesn't want it anyways, because a true psychic doesn't want your power. She wants you to have your power and for you to be empowered. Meaning she doesn't need to be the know-it-all who's divining your future. She respects that you are divining and creating your future, and she wants to assist and support you in that. So the fact that the event, quote-unquote, did not happen could have multiple reasons, but it comes back to looking at you and your energy and taking responsibility for choices you made, energies you made. And if by chance, after that reading, you changed your mind and said, okay, no, I don't want that to happen at all, and I'm not really interested in that path to follow, I'm going to do something else, well, then you also shut down the potential of that happening as well. So it comes back to personal responsibility and how you're using your energy and conscious awareness around that. Now, the other potential here, Carl, is that say you were open and you were saying yes to this event and you were wanting it and nothing changed for you. You know, you were on board and then it didn't happen. What I have found in my personal life, and what I've heard so clearly from Spirit, is that when one event doesn't happen but the energy is there to support it, it's because something else is in the works or happening or unfolding that could take you to that new development in a different way. And so this is the tricky part, because when we have an intention around something and we want it and we're open to it, we also have to have that level of detachment and release expectations. You know, don't hold on to the leash too tight. You know, let God, the universe, Spirit work its magic and surprise you in a really divine way. So if this event did not happen, it's potentially because something better is in the works and is going to come forward. So your assignment if you will, is to stay in alignment with the energy of what you want to create, to stay strong in that, to remain trusting and faithful, and allow the process to develop and occur. I have found many wonderful psychics, and I have found some that just didn't quite work for me. So check in and make sure that there's an energetic alignment with people. I actually have some really good psychics listed on ConsciousCoolChic.com under favorite links. There's some people there that I recommend who I think are very top-notch quality. And they will honor your free will and support you. And again, you know, this comes back to your personal power and not giving it away. And I've seen this transpire in my own life and in other people's life where they said, oh, well, this person said this event would happen or this relationship would happen, and then it didn't. And so they were wrong. And it completely removes their own energetic responsibility. So stay in alignment with what you want. Claim the responsibility for your energy. And know that the psychics are tuning into potentials and probabilities that are for your best and highest good, and that a lot of times they are right on. And when it isn't right on, it's because something better could be happening. So I guess don't give up hope or faith, and know that, no, your psychic was not a bad psychic. There was just other things at play. So let me know if you have any follow-up questions to that. Because I think this is relevant for a lot of people. We have a tendency to put expectations on people and to give them our power without understanding that you still have the power of your life. Now, there's another question that came in, and it's related to this. So I'm going to read this question. This was from Anonymous, and they said, I'm on a spiritual path, and I have found a lot of value in my personal sessions with psychics. However, it confuses me when a popular psychic like Sylvia Brown gets important information wrong, like she did with one of the missing girls in Cleveland. What are your thoughts on these scenarios, and how are we supposed to interpret them from a spiritual perspective? Okay, a little background for those who are not in the U.S. The beginning of May, there was a groundbreaking story in Cleveland, Ohio, where three young women have been held captive for 10 years, literally chained inside a home. And one of them had given birth. You know, you can probably pick up on all the yucky energy associated with this experience. And so it's been 10 years that these girls have been missing. And back in 2004, so I think that first girl was missing in 2002. I could be a little off, but just give you an idea of the timeline here. So the girl went missing. Then her mom went on Montel show, and Sylvia Brown, the famous psychic, was a guest. And the mom asked Sylvia Brown, is my daughter still alive? And Sylvia said, no, honey, your daughter would have called if she was still alive. Well, this mother was understandably devastated and distraught and hurt. And it turns out that she died a year later, and I don't think it's because of this, but it was just like she chose to leave this life. And so this question is about how can a popular psychic like Sylvia Brown get important information wrong? Like, how can she say that this girl died when here it is 10 years later and the girl's alive? Well, what I have received on this information I received is quite interesting. One, it's about the fact that Sylvia Brown is a pioneer in bringing psychic energies and metaphysical information to the mass media, to mass consciousness. You know, she's been out there doing this for so long, and tons of books, tours, sessions, all kinds of things. I mean, she's been around for so long. And so one of her primary roles is to bring this information out to the forefront. And when you do that, you have people who are naysayers and who discount what you say and who don't believe in your skills. So Sylvia Brown has been an important force in bringing psychic information to the forefront. Now, the fact that she's wrong is interesting, because what I'm hearing is that actually it wasn't so much that she was wrong, quote-unquote, it's that her interpretation of the energy was different than how mass consciousness would interpret it. So if she felt that this girl was dead, she could have been feeling how that girl had died, how a part of her soul her energy had died. See, so it wasn't so much that she was picking up on a physical death, but a spiritual death, an emotional death, that this girl was in prison and her energy had died because of it. So that's what I am seeing and understanding as why this, why the information was not quote-unquote accurate, because people are looking for that physical death. I mean, that's what people in mass media especially want to see. But she was talking about a different type of death. And so it's up to you to determine, you know, what you resonate with and what feels right for you about this story. But that's what I'm showing, is how this, from a spiritual perspective, has been an interesting opportunity to learn about energy. And that a physical death is one thing, a spiritual death is another. And so your question here about how they get information wrong, well, chances are it's just information is interpreted differently, and we have to look at it from a bigger perspective. I hope that answers your question. Okay, I'm going to take a quick sip of water, just a moment. I'll be back here in just a second. Okay, thank you. Now, next question. This person says, I'm seeing a lot of the same messages between other spiritual teachers, channels, and intuitives. What's up with that? Is everyone copying each other, or is the information accurate? That's a great question. Isn't that fascinating? I love this question because I think it addresses something very important about spiritual communities and spiritual leaders. There are many spiritual leaders out there who are authentic, who tap into high-level information, who have a lot to say and offer. And so when you see similar messages a few weeks apart, or, you know, coming up on Facebook or shared on articles and blogs, you want to look at the source and know that it's like everyone is tapping into galactic channels. And when you go higher up in energy and consciousness, you know that all energies are connected, right? And so it's almost like each person at that higher level has their radio station dial tuned to the same frequency. So yes, they are receiving the same information, and it is accurate because they're in tune with that dial, and because there are messages that we as humanity need to hear, and we need to read it through different people to have it affirmed and confirmed. It's like if you hear a message once, you can easily forget it. But if you read it three different times from three different sources, then you know that that's really something important to pay attention to. It's highly relevant, and it's important right now. Now, there is the other part of this where in any industry, in any profession, you're going to have copycats. You're going to have people who want to do it for the money. You're going to have people with different intentions. So as always, you have to use your discernment and see if it feels right. You know, it's one thing to say all the right words, but if the energy doesn't back it up, then those words are hollow. I have seen some messages that I felt weren't quite right. You know, they just were a little off for me, and I just made a mental note and said, okay, it's not resonating with me. However, people are out sharing messages and getting a following and doing their work because there's people who resonate with them. You know, there's a reason why that person has some notoriety or has a following. It's because they are connecting with some people and providing them with what they need. So I think this is really important right now, is to understand that there are different levels of energies at work within spiritual communities, within spiritual leaders, and they are serving a purpose. They are connecting with who they need to connect with. And it just comes down to your conscious choice and what feels right for you and what is helping you. And someone who you read or resonated with 2 years ago might not be someone that you're jiving with anymore. And that's pretty normal, really. So just kind of have your antennas up and see what is going on. But just know that there are going to be some people who, quote unquote, copy, but I believe that most people are genuine, and at least most people out there have something special to say, and that when there are multiple messages that are the same, that could be a very divine message in and of itself. Okay, so I hope that answers your questions there. Now let's look at what's the definition of a twin flame? And this comes from Sarah. What's the definition of a twin flame? I've seen it explained multiple ways, and I'm actually more confused now than I was before. Okay, so Sarah, this is what I have been shown and what resonates with me, so I offer it to you with the intention of providing clarity and perspective. Twin flames are individual, we're going to call them people, individual people who have a very similar energy signature, who have most likely had numerous incarnations together because they were, I would say, birthed energetically at the same time with the same intentions and the similar lessons to learn. Typically, twin flames are of different genders, so male, female, not always. So now they're clarifying. We expect them to be same genders, but in this lifetime, if you are, okay, so for heterosexual purposes, yours would be male, female, but for homosexual purposes, yours would be the same gender. You absolutely can have a twin flame that's of your same gender because it's about the energy and the connections there. Now, twin flames are individual sovereign beings with their own, I'm saying a physical structure, with their own brains, their own hearts, their own organs. It's not that you're sharing your free will or you're not sharing yourself. I mean, think about twins that are born. You know, twins are born in their own bodies and they're born at the same time. And they have their own brains, their own hearts, their own feet, their own everything. They're just sharing they have just shared a common energetic space. And so throughout incarnations and lifetimes, chances are you come in and work on similar lessons as your twin flame, although there are lifetimes where maybe you go into a scenario and they do not, they go into a different scenario. And right now there's this huge flow of information about twin flames because there are so many who chose to incarnate and come together during this lifetime. Now, this could be a bigger topic, and I'm just going to, they're telling me to continue with it. Twin flames are a very powerful connection because there's this innate understanding and intuitive knowingness, commonalities, similar themes. It's like, you know, working with yourself. It just has a comfort level there. It's hard to explain to other people who have not experienced it, and I think that's why there's a lot of different information floating around, because if someone is talking about twin flames but they don't have that actual experience, that's probably what you're picking up on, Sarah, is that you're feeling like, but they don't really know, right? They don't really get it. And I think that it's interesting that you asked me this because I do have this experience in this lifetime, and I do know what that twin flame energy is. It is completely different than any other relationship. And it is that knowingness, that recognition. It's that soul level recognition of, hey, I really, really know you. They want me to continue. So with twin flames coming into this lifetime together, there's also been the phenomenon of twin flames not being on the same timeline, growing at different speeds, being at different parts of their lessons, being in different places. And so it's being in the space where you recognize him or her, and on some level they recognize you, but they don't know why, and they're not ready. And so there have been a lot of missed connections. And that's been fascinating too. In fact, I'm going to be doing a whole show on missed connections, quote unquote missed connections, because there are many times where we have the understanding of what a twin flame is, and so then we have expectations, and then we think we found them, and then we found them, but they didn't find us, if you know what I mean, because it wasn't in their awareness. They didn't understand what was happening. And so they continue on with their life path, and you continue on with yours, yet there's this feeling of grief, loss, heartache, devastation. Wow. There's a lot that can come up with this, because there's so much expectation around twin flames. But I offer you this insight. If you have found someone that you would classify as your twin flame, and it was a missed connection, things did not come together, and you've been perhaps dealing with grief or loss around it, I want you to know this, and this answer just came to me like a week ago. There's always a plan B. There's always a plan C, and a plan D, and a plan E, and on and on. The energy is so powerful and so strong that you will feel that grief around the misconnection, but it'll come back around, and it isn't truly a misconnection, meaning there's something else that you and your twin flame put into place to connect again. So maybe it's not this month, this year, this lifetime, but it is going to happen again, because your twin flame and you are so brilliant that you knew that you needed to honor each other's growth and what you each needed at that time. And so if one of you wasn't ready, it was almost like, don't worry, I'll meet you at the next location, the next place. And this was put into place so that both of you could have peace, you could own and feel confident about where you are in your spiritual path, even if it doesn't, quote unquote, match up right now. And so that you can have peace and know that everything is divine and in divine order. Ah, wow. There's a lot of big energy around this. So, yes, we are going to talk about this more fully in June. And I'll title the show Missed Connections so that you can find it again and come back and listen. So, Sarah, I hope that answered your question about divine flames and opened you up to a broader understanding of what's going on. And, I would also advise, if you need more information, talk to somebody you trust, an intuitive, a psychic, someone who works with energy, just to get more information and insight if that would help you with more clarity and peace. Okay, great. One more question here, and then we're going to move into the astrology segment of the show. And this is a perfect segue because this question is about astrology. I have squares, oppositions, and trines in my astrology chart. What do they mean energetically? What does each one mean? Okay, so this is an anonymous question, and I'm going to make some assumptions that you are looking at your chart on, say, astro.com, and you haven't had it professionally interpreted. So here's the quick and dirty description of each of these, each of these energetic alignments. A square, okay. If you're looking at your chart right now, a square is the red line. It's the red line that shows that two planets are coming up against each other, sort of like at an intersection. When you're at an intersection in your vehicle and you're going straight ahead, and then someone comes in at the right-hand side and bam, T-bones your car. That is a square. And it's interesting because what that shows us is that it's two energies wanting to move in different directions, and they come up against each other. It's a 90-degree angle, and it is where we can get frustrated. We can have two different intentions at the same time. We can want to go this way and then want to go this way and then stall out. So it can be seen as that initial crash. And I think that when we look at our charts and we don't even know the energies at play, it's very unconscious. But squares are vital, actually, for growth. And squares show us energetically there are multiple ways to do something, and you need to incorporate both energies together in their highest ways. You want to see squares as those nudges and shoves and crashes that move you forward. That's their intention. They're meant to help you grow and continue your personal development. And so astrologers look for squares in a chart because it shows us where you are required to focus energy in order to grow. So there's lots of benefits in squares. It's not just about having crashes and having frustration and feeling tension and stuck, although that can happen, and that's actually quite valid. But the idea is that it helps you to grow, to push forward, to figure out how to use these two energies in a way that supports you. So let's look at oppositions. Oppositions are typically the black line in an astrology chart, and they are, as they say, two opposing energies. So you have one part of you that wants to do something this way and another part of you that wants to do something the complete opposite way. It creates this need to go in both directions at once, or you could feel indecision. The thing about oppositions is that because it is exactly opposite of you, it can feel like it's coming from outside of you, that it's from somebody else. They are representing this energy to you. So say you're a Libra and you have in your chart an opposition to an Aries planet. Well, you could find and meet people on your path who have lots of Aryan energy, and you think, oh, they're selfish. Oh, they only think about themselves. Oh, they don't take into consideration the diplomatic way to do things, or what about this? Well, if you have that opposition in your chart, it's showing you the part of yourself that you haven't integrated, almost as if it's easier to keep it out there and away instead of understanding that that is also an aspect of you. So oppositions also require you to grow, to see things differently, to see something from a completely different perspective and to understand how to work with something in a new way. And so just like squares, oppositions will take you to new places, will force you to learn. And if you're not aware of the opposition, it could be that you're screaming and fighting and resisting it. But the opposition, one of the best things about opposition is that it also requires balance. Where can you balance these energies? And this connects to something we experience every month called a full moon. Every month we have a full moon that is an opposition of energies. And it brings something to our awareness. It shows us what we wouldn't normally see. It requires you to move out of your perspective and to see something differently. So oppositions are a gift, and they show you more ways to understand a scenario and more ways to work with energy. Okay, and then we're going to look at trines. What do trines mean? Trines are blue on your astrology chart, and they show energies that flow. So say, for example, you are a Cancer. You have Sun in Cancer, and you're noticing trines. Well, trines, you might have a trine to Scorpio or to Pisces, and that just shows the flow, the opening. That's where things are easy. They're effortless. They're gifts, if you will. And we look for trines in an astrology chart because they show us where you have opportunities, where things can come to you easily, how you can use your energy for benefits and just what is simple for you. You know, you just have an easy ability to connect to something because of the trines. Now, the thing about trines, though, is that, yes, we love them, and yes, they're great, but at the same time, they can also make you lazy and lay back, and, oh, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to put work into this. It's just going to happen. And so trines can also be a bit, you know, lackadaisical, and I don't need to worry about it. And you can see how that's a good thing at times, and at other times, well, maybe you do have to put some effort into what you want to create. The thing about trines is that they will support you. They have been known to be those gifts from the cosmic piggy bank where things just happen for you and they spark you up and they move you forward. It does depend which element you have your trines in. So if you have a trine in an earth sign, that will be a different energy than a trine in a fire sign or in an air sign or in a water sign. So the signs of the trine matter. And ideally, now this isn't true for everybody, and don't worry if it's not true for you, but having a variety of trines, squares, and oppositions is what is going to determine the energy of your life path this time around. Oppositions and squares are going to make you work for something, to go for it, to learn and to grow, and that could feel challenging at times. But then the trines also have flow and ease and open you up. So these are the three main energies in an astrology chart. There are other ones. There's quite a few more, but I just want to cover those for right now and give you an idea of what those lines and colors mean on your astrology chart. Now, I'm going to take a 60-second break so I can have some more water. And when we come back, we will look at what Jupiter in Cancer means, because that is going to be a big shift in energy, and it's going to be quite lovely, I feel. So we'll be right back to talk about Jupiter in Cancer. See you soon. We are back. So let's take a look at Jupiter in Cancer and what that means, as it's going to shift energies and bring our attention to a new place. Now, whenever we talk about the zodiac and changes in energy, I think it's beneficial to look at the bigger picture perspective. So the zodiac starts with Aries, which is that need to be an individual, to go out into the world and say, this is me, this is what I'm about, this is what I think, and it's a very basic energy. It's just about the essentials, about setting a goal, about going for it. There's a lot of drive and inspiration. Then we move into Taurus, and Taurus takes that energy and enthusiasm of Aries and says, okay, let's make it practical. Let's make it real. Let's make it something we can touch and feel and build it. Make it stable. So you probably heard how Taurus can be quite stubborn, and that's because it's stuck on wanting to make something real. You know, we're not just going to have this inspiration. We're going to do something with it. Well, then when we build something and essentially, like, say, build your house, well, then we want to go out into the neighborhood and check out who's around, who else has just built their houses. And so then we move forward into Gemini energy. And Gemini is about being social, sharing ideas, having conversations. Let's talk about it. It also includes your siblings and your neighborhood, your local community. Gemini takes the foundation of Taurus and says, okay, I've got this covered. I've got a home base. Now I want to go out into my community and see who's out here and find out the latest gossip. Then, from Gemini, we move into Cancer energy. And Cancer is the first water sign we come to. And it's the point where we say, okay, I've been doing all this stuff and building and talking. Now I think I'm going to feel something. Now I'm going to listen to my emotions and take everything I've seen and experienced and talked about and put it into my heart. And what does it feel like? So we've had Jupiter in Gemini for almost a year now. And this is the energy that has been propelling us to talk, to share, to be on social networks, to get these new ideas about our lives and what we can do, to reach out and work with others, to go on trips, to move about. There's a lot of zest with Gemini. It's a social butterfly. It has a lot to say. It's also highly analytical. It has very strong mental faculties. It wants to think about things and look at data. Well, now we're moving into Cancer energy, shifting from all this mental action into the feeling arena. And that changes things significantly because Cancer is concerned about emotional security and how it feels. And it doesn't want to talk so much. Cancer doesn't, in fact, Cancer can feel vulnerable putting itself out there. It wants to feel safe. It wants to have a home base. So I think about Cancer as that place we come back to, say that place we built with Taurus energy. Then we come back to our home base and we feel more. We open up to our feeling and our wisdom that is found in our feelings. With Jupiter, Jupiter is about expansion, abundance, going bigger, taking something further. It's about, you know, making something happy. There's a lot of happiness and buoyancy associated with Jupiter. There's the need to take one idea and just amplify it and have it be something more. Jupiter brings a lot of stuff to us. It can bring us our gifts and rewards very easily. It doesn't require a lot of work. It's almost like showing up at a party and you're just being handed a swag bag of all this awesome stuff. That is Jupiter. And so with Jupiter in Cancer, we're moving into a place where we're going to feel a new awareness of our emotional abilities, of tapping into our heart chakra more, of understanding the wisdom of feelings, and needing and wanting to find comfort in our home. And so there's a few ways I see this happening. It could be a resurgence in home renovations, expanding your home, ways you can make your home feel better to you. There could also be a huge inspiration to search for your genealogical roots, to search for where you came from, your heritage. What do you want to know about your ancestors and where you are from? Jupiter in Cancer is also about your living environment inside the home. So interiors, color, textiles, making something bright, having your space match you. Maybe that means renovating your office, upgrading the pillows on your couch, just making something cozier and making it a sanctuary. I love that feeling of being in a sacred space that is your own and that connects to your energy now. And so it could be you look around and look at your house and just feel like, you know, this stuff is outdated. It's time for something new. I also think that we're going to experience the Jupiter in Cancer as new books that come out onto the market all about living, healthy living, happy living, books, because Jupiter is associated with publishing. And because you take that publishing and you connect it to where we find feel-good safety, then it could be new recipes, an insurgence of ways that we can make our home our own. I just feel like there's going to be all these new things that come out that will help and support us connect to our emotional world and where we feel safe. Now, the other part of this is that because cancer can feel vulnerable and needs safety, it can increase feeling defensive, it can increase reactions, it can increase people feeling very emotional. So it'll depend how Jupiter in Cancer shows up for you and how it is in your chart is how you will experience these feelings. It will give you the opportunity to tap into your emotional world better, to know yourself and your heart better, your needs. It could also be beautiful in connecting with your mom. Cancer rules motherhood. It also connects to you as a mother and how you mother yourself, how you mother others, whether you are an actual mother in that role or how it's more the energy of mothering. There could also be an insurgence of pregnancies. And I feel that what's really fascinating to me is that there's a royal baby on the way. And I think that this royal baby is interesting and that it's going to, again, bring our awareness to what it means to be a mother. This baby is coming through on a very big world stage with lots of expectations and lots of energy associated with it. And I think it's going to bring in this need to find safety, to be mothering, to remember the beauties of childhood. It feels very loving to me. So it'll be interesting to see how this royal baby shows up and how it essentially kickstarts a return to motherhood and a return to what it means to have a baby. Let's see, Jupiter in Cancer could be beneficial to the housing market and to real estate. But I'm slowing down when I say that because what's going to be fascinating is that Jupiter is going to come into alignment with Pluto in Capricorn and Uranus in Aries over the summer. And that's very volatile energy. And so I don't think that anything with the housing market is going to be stable for a while. But when Jupiter moves into the later degrees, meaning it moves into 15 degrees and later of Cancer, then things could be a little bit more stable or at least beneficial. And that's something that Rick DiClemente and I will be talking about on June 12th. That's on this show. We're going to talk about what the Jupiter in Cancer energy is going to bring forward and how it's going to interact with all the dynamic changes we've been going through. So I hope this has given you a wonderful heads up and understanding about the energies. Thank you to everyone who has submitted questions. We're going to be doing these top spirituality questions once a month. So go ahead and send in any questions that come up for you, and I will hopefully select it for the June edition of these questions. Thank you so much for being here. As always, I greatly appreciate your energetic presence and the fact that you made time to listen to this show. I will see you back here next week, and I wish you a wonderful, beautiful day ahead. Thank you, friends. Bye-bye.
Moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. I wish that I could have this moment. For life. This is my moment.